All right, we are rolling on audio, rolling on video. I'm going to do a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Ooh, that was a nice clap. Hear that echo down there? Okay. Got one more sip.
Make it short and sweet, Jack.
And hi, guys. How are you? My name is Brad Sundberg, host and producer of an event called In the Studio with MJ. This is a pretty interesting weekend. This is the weekend that was that's the 30-year anniversary for Michael Jackson's Dangerous album. And I guess I'm in a bit of a unique spot to talk about it because I worked on it. I was my title on this record was Technical Director, which meant I did everything from making coffee to making work tapes to recording Michael to helping with whatever needed to be done on a technical level. I could talk about that for 2 hours. I could talk about this record for for 12 hours, for 20 hours, but I won't. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about. Sometimes there's so much in this record, it's easier just to zero in on one or two little things, which is what I'm gonna do right now. I met Michael in 1984. He was working on a project called Captain EO, and I was a runner, a gopher at Westlake Studios, and that's how we met. And I wound up staying with him or working on projects with him for the next 18 years. So he had an absolute profound impact on my life. And of all the projects I worked on with him, you know, I guess you shouldn't have a favorite, but this kind of is my favorite. This was a really, really amazing project. So there's one song I want to talk about. And sometimes when I do my live events, I talk about this song a little bit because I didn't like it. I don't like saccharine songs. I don't like songs that are too sweet. And Heal the World is right up there with about as sweet and saccharine-y as they come. It's a song that meant a lot to Michael. It's a song that he genuinely wanted and believed that he and us could make the world a better place and leave the world in a better place than we found it. That was from his heart. It was as real as it gets. Michael singing Heal the World. The flip side of it is Bruce Swedeen. Bruce is an absolute icon. I love Bruce. We lost Bruce this year. Tragically, one of the kindest, sweetest, most talented engineers I've ever had the pleasure of working with. An absolute brilliant man who was a pioneer in this industry. So Bruce, Quincy Jones used to say, Bruce paints a 747 with a Q-tip. It's so attention to detail. And Heal the World was a perfect example of that. There were three producers on the Dangerous album, and I don't want to run down too many tangents, but Dangerous has three very distinct sounds, three very distinct feels. You've got Teddy Riley, you've got Bill Bottrell, and you've got Bruce Swedeen. And that's part of what makes this record so amazing, is that it has these three guys who are firing on all cylinders. And they're bringing their own flavors and their own seasonings to this record. And it works. They work together. The songs interweave. Some of them may have started with one producer and migrated to another producer. A lot of stories, a lot of politics, a lot of stuff. And we spend a lot of time talking about that in my events. But Heal the World is the one I want to talk about because I didn't like it. It was so sweet. And that little girl in the beginning, you know, what is it? You know, I think about I think that was Matt Forger's niece or his neighbor's niece or something. They tried to find a girl in Hollywood to do that opening monologue. And finally, I think Matt Forger just brought his niece in or something. He was one of the engineers. And she did a great job. But that's where it starts. You've got the soft little keyboards and then the kids and then the choir. And it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous piece of music. But going back to Bruce, Bruce is finessing it and finessing it. And he's not cutting any corners. Everything is done correctly. And we mixed it and mixed it and mixed it. You have to understand, the Dangerous album, we didn't call it the Dangerous album. We just called it The Project. It was going to be called Decade. And Decade went on for something like 20 months. We were in the studio. It was an enormous project. There were so many songs and different ideas and directions we were going. So Heal the World, we started pretty early in the project and worked on it and worked on it. And there would be entire days where we would, we might bring Paulinho da Costa in to do percussion. And it's just a room full of equipment. And Paulinho might come in and just do like a shaker egg or just tap a couple little sticks together just to add a little more seasoning to the song. And then Bruce would have to mix it. And he would mix it. We had a big Neve 8078 80 input console. And he would mix it and I would have to document it. And everything had to be perfect. There was no cutting corners. The reverbs had to be perfect. The compressors had to be perfect. Everything was done to perfection. So on an album, I kind of came up with this analogy years ago where an album, at least on big albums like this, they're kind of done in three parts. It's usually called tracking, overdubs, and mixing. Tracking is when it's new songs, it's, you know, drums, it's bass, it's, you know, the song is being worked on. Overdubs are, you're doing your vocals, you're bringing in choirs and things like that. And then mixing, all the recording is done, and now we're just mixing the album. So I kind of equate it to like a meal, appetizers, entrees, dessert. And normally when you have a big meal, you get to dessert, you don't normally go back and order more appetizers. So that's kind of how it is on an album, especially working with Bruce. You do your tracking, then you do all your overdubs. Now, the whole time, Bruce is mixing, but then it gets to the very end when he's doing the final mixes, and all the musicians are gone, and we're done. It's just us with Michael approving the mixes. And so Heal the World, let me just read a couple of things to you. It was produced by Michael Jackson, co-produced by Bruce Swedeen. It was written and composed by Michael Jackson. Then you're going to start hearing some familiar names in here. If we go down the list, we have orchestra arrangement and conducted by Marty Paich. Marty Paich is David Paich's dad. David Paich is in Toto. Toto is kind of our house band for a lot of our MJ projects. So there's all these interconnected, you read a lot of the same names from one MJ song to another because that's who we worked with. That was our family. So then you keep reading on. Choir arrangement by John Baylor, which is interesting because I thought this was the Andre Crouch choir. And I could be, but this may have been a different choir. Well, John Baylor is Tom Baylor's brother. Tom Baylor wrote She's Out of My Life on Michael's Off the Wall album. So all these, it's like a small town. It's like Main Street USA. These same people just keep appearing on these projects. So the last name that I read here is you read Michael Boddicker, David Paich, Marty's son. Then you get to Steve Picaro, Toto. Steve's a good friend of mine. Jeff Picaro. Toto. Jeff Beccaro played drums on this song. Jeff Beccaro came in and did his work early in the project. And you've got to give me a little bit of leeway because it's been 30 plus years. But we were done with the appetizers. We were done with the entree. We're into dessert. We're into mixing. So Bruce is mixing Heal the World. It's a big mix. In 1990, it was probably 1991, I'm going to guess 120 tracks, something like that, maybe 100. Bruce, I mean, everything's in stereo. It's a massive song. It's a massive mix. There's no Pro Tools. This is all done on digital tape machines, recorded analog, mixed digitally. And Bruce is mixing. And I'm so sick of this song. I'm sitting next to him at the patch bay. And, you know, we didn't have phones back then. You couldn't stare at your phone, which I wouldn't do anyway. But maybe I'm thumbing through a magazine or something, but I couldn't take this song anymore. I was so tired of this song. And Bruce stops the tapes, and he looks at me and he says, "Bratty Daddy." He calls me Bratty Daddy. "Bratty Daddy, we're missing something." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." I'm like, "Really? Yep, we're missing something." I'm going to be honest. It's a little blurry in my memory, but we may have reached out. He wanted big tom fills leading into the chorus, and they weren't there. And so we may have reached out to Jeff Beccaro, and Jeff might have been booked. So I'm 99% sure. In fact, I actually texted him today that we reached out to John Robinson, JR. John worked with us a lot, and we called JR, brought him in, and you have to understand, we're done recording. The microphones have been put away, and here comes John Robinson with his massive, gorgeous drum kit, and it takes probably 4 hours to, well, 3 hours to get the drums all set up, get the drums tuned, get the microphones set up, get everything, the tube traps, everything ready for recording. And then we can actually start recording. And then Bruce has to get the sounds. It's a whole process just to record drums during the dessert section, the mixing section of the album. You don't do this. Nobody does this except Bruce Swedeen. So, and Bruce said, "It has to be right. This is for Michael." So we set the whole drum kit up. JR came in, and I think Bruce told him, just play the tom fills. The boom, boom, boom. So leading into those choruses, I want you to go listen to it. I want you to listen to Heal the World. Get past the little girl. I'm sure she's a sweet, she's got to be 30, 36, 38 years old now. Get past that. Enjoy Michael, all that. But listen to those tom fills. Those were done at the very end of the project, right before we finished mixing the song on the last day of mixing Heal the World. It's a true story. So at the end of the project, it's kind of funny. I worked with Michael for like 18 years, and I think I only have like 6 or 8 pictures with him. You didn't do that. You didn't run around taking selfies. I mean, there was no such thing. And I don't even have that many autographs from him. But somehow, I don't remember when he did it. But I brought him one of the special edition, I think they gave us a few. And he signed it to me. And he signed it to Brad, the miracle worker. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. "Thanks a trillion. Love, Applehead, Michael Jackson." It means a lot to me. It's not the monetary value of it, but it's a moment in time. It's a moment that will live with me forever. And I'm grateful. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and it's kind of funny that Dangerous turns 30 on Thanksgiving weekend, because I'm filled with thanks. I'm thankful for my family, my friends, my faith, and the amazing friendship that I had with this guy, with Applehead. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me. It's kind of a story that I wanted to share, kind of in tribute to the Dangerous turning 30. A couple last things. We'll probably put this in the comments, but on December 12th, we are doing a very Neverland Christmas, which is going to be a live stream right here in this little production room. We've got a lot of interviews from people that worked both in the studio and at Neverland, just talking about Michael, talking about how we celebrated things, not just Christmas, but even birthdays and little surprises that I think you're really going to enjoy. So it's something that we're going to do on December 12th. It's going to be on Facebook. You have to, you can only watch it on Facebook. You have to buy a ticket and hope, you know, spend some time with us. In January, we are going to be in Dallas. We're going to have a full In the Studio with MJ weekend in Dallas. You can get all the details on my website, www.inthestudiowithmj, and we'll have all that in the comments. So thank you. I'm thankful for you guys. Have a great remainder of this Thanksgiving weekend. Happy anniversary to the amazing Dangerous album, and stay safe and be blessed. Take care.